Very damn few who learned from him, like a Vince Gill or a Dale McCurry. But he wanted to sing the tenor when nobody else had ever sung it. And he wrote the songs so they had to be sung that way. He wrote them in keys that had never been used in music, country music. Now, I don't know about opera and symphonies. I don't know what the hell. Well, they got all kind of, but no. He wrote them in where nobody had ever sung and played them tones.
Okay.
And when he heard the banjo, it was high enough. It could get in there with him. And let me tell you something else. You ready for this?
Yes, sir.
He never let two instruments play in the same octave.
Mm-hmm. To eliminate the overtones.
So that he had four different overtones.
Yep.
And he blended them together. And nobody had ever done that. And that's bluegrass music.
Mm-hmm.
And he put it together and he wrote the song. And Platt learned to play them in keys he had never played in. And so did Earl Scruggs. And Monroe, because the fiddle is the same as his instrument. If the fiddle was taking a break, he couldn't play.
Mm-hmm. He was chopping back there.
So he started playing a beat ball, a rhythm in between that he'd heard black man play. See, that's what's wrong. All the country music today, ain't a damn one of them know the correct rhythm. Ain't none of them got rhythm. All them damn electric bands and all you hearing out of that, they sing all over the thing. You're supposed to sing on one note and skip one in music. I don't care whether it's bluegrass or any. Watch Michael Jackson's right foot. It's the same beat as Monroe's Mandolin. He never sings on it. That's the reason he's the biggest entertainer in the world. Presley never sung on that second beat. Never. A note of the melody. Because the band's playing it on the melody beat. The time beat is just to tell the band when to play the melody note. Or sing it.
Yeah.
And black meat, the gospel people would clap their hands in between the singing. That's rhythm. What people playing today ain't even rhythm. They sing on any damn beat they want to. So Kentucky Headhunters, ever heard of them?
Sure.
Well, why was their first song a hit? Walk softly on this heart of mine.
I don't know. It was bluegrass.
He wrote the damn thing.
It was bluegrassy. Yeah.
It's his beat.
Yeah.
And Rufus.
John.
They all go down to Rufus Walker. Then they never had another hit. And they never will. Unless they record a Monroe song and do it with his beat. It's music. It's the correct way to play music. And he was the first one to really do it.
Let me use those words and I'll put it in there just as you said, okay?
He wrote the music. There was no bluegrass till he wrote it.
Okay.
Plant, no damn body else could play it.
All right.
The Morris Brothers, they were great. They sung in the 110 octave with a guitar. And the tenor singer sung an eighth note to that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people do it. But you see, his brother, Charlie, liked to sing and play in C chord now.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill thought that was just a little bit off strain. And that was a problem that they had when they were the Monroe Brothers. Charlie put it right up in C and make him sing tenor. When he got on his own and became his own boss man, he dropped it back to B. Now let me ask you something. Have you ever heard that Monroe says, we say, what key is it in, Bill? B? He'll say, B natural. You ever heard that?
No, I never have.
Well, ask any musician that worked with him. Call some of them up. Call every damn one of them you want to. And every damn one of them will tell you that he says, be natural. And they think the old man's crazy. Be natural. I said be, Bill. Well, we do it in be natural.
Well, I suppose that is.
I called a symphony orchestra director in Greensboro. And I asked him, was there a difference in just be and be natural? You know what the man said?
He probably, I don't know. I don't know.
No, you don't know.
No.
Nobody else.
I don't know.
He said, is there a difference between C and high C?
Oh, I see.
I said, yes, sir. He said, what is it? I said, well, C is a middle C, standard C is a middle note on your piano.
Yeah.
High C is the next C.
Yeah.
He said, B is beside
that one, huh? But
first C.
Okay.
be natural is beside Hyacinth.
Mm-hmm.
If they give C two different names, middle C and high C.
Yeah, they're going to give B two different names as well. Yep.
So Monroe says, be natural. He wants you to lead it an octave higher than the Marx Brothers or J.E. Maynard or anybody else. So he can sing a tenor where no other man can sing.
Did you ever get the Carlton Heaney chapter that I sent to you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay. It's basically there, what you have been telling me.
He's going to talk about the music.
Uh-huh.
And the great pickers and how he learned. Now, when you went to work with him, I told you, every man, every musician could not go back home and play with the band they left. And I carried one banjo player, and he worked with him a while, and we had 2 weeks off, and he went back home to see his folks and all, and he come back, and I said, you see, he played with a guy named Joe Stone, and they had a band, you know. And he took a job with Monroe, and I said, you go play with the boys and all that. I told him when I hired him for Monroe, I said, Bobby, and I'll give you his number if you want to call him. I said, Bobby Atkins. I said, Bobby, now I'm going to give you this job with Monroe, and you know when you go back home, you won't be able to play with nobody else. What do you mean? I said, you never will be able to play with anybody else. You crazy. I said, all right, I'm just telling you before you go. Now, if you don't want to get in that predicament, you better not go. I'm going. I said, you crazy. So he worked a while, 3, 4, 5, 6 months. Went back home, come back off the vacation we had. And I said, Bob, did you see the boys? Yeah. God, yeah. I said, what do you mean? Y'all play some? Yeah. Hell, yeah. They can't keep time at all. Since I left. I said, what do you mean? I couldn't play with them. I said, well, do you think they changed or you changed? Oh, hell, they changed. I played just like I did. And he didn't know that Monroe had changed him. Not one man knows that Monroe changed him. Carl Vassar Clements knows.
Yeah, you told me that story. And
Clements knows. Call him.
Yeah. And
but you see, you know what I think he does? Makes you play the rhythm from a different place in your brain than any other musician or anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
He starts another place that you can play it perfect. Right on the beat.
Uh-huh.
Call Bobby Hicks. He's with Skaggs. He'll tell you he didn't stay with Mel Tillis for 3 weeks. He told them all, said, y'all out of time. Tillis said, you fired. Bobby said, no. Now, Mel, I quit about 15 minutes ago.
Carlton, you got your book underway yet?
Yeah. Well, I got it. Yeah, I've been writing.
Have you?
Yeah, I write it and all of it that comes to me. See, but the thing here about this other thing, I don't care whether anybody believes it, but every musician, if you include Scruggs and Platt and any damn body else you want to, that worked with Monroe, he was the nearest thing to perfect that ever played or sung. And every man worshiped him. Every man respected him. And every one of them will jump down your throat. And everybody else who knows that Monroe now was a backbone for 50 years of this music, it's just the worst thing you can do, because they'll start boycotting your book. They'll write letters to Bluegrass Unlimited, telling people not to buy it. Because that was a personal thing. And he had every right, because he had created the music they were playing. And they had a standing thing at the opera. Not a rule or written on paper or nothing. But when they hired Ernest Tubb, everybody understood there would never be another singer that sung in that lower key that Tubb sung in. What octave did Tubb sing in?
I have no idea.
Well, the 55 to the 110.
Okay.
I'm a walking the floor over you.
Yeah.
I can't sing that low. Now, you got other singers like Jim Reeves, Mel Tillis.
They're all taking that A, just a different levels, huh?
They take the octave where the A starts with a 100 and hit A. And you got Conway Twitty or George Jones, who can put it in that octave that starts with 220. But none of them could sing in the 440 octave. And that's where Monroe wanted his tenor note to come from. And he created the music to do that. Because he couldn't sing like Ernest Tubb. He couldn't sing low. So he had to have something to sing.